Father, I thank you for this brother and the gift that he is to us as a church, to your people. Father, you've given him many gifts, amazingly talented and equipped him in just certain ways that are just so unique to him. And now, Lord, he comes here before us to bring your counsel, your mind, especially to bear on a new beginning, like a new year. And Lord, I just want to commend him before you, asking that you may be with him. Father, I ask that you'll remind him of who he is and that he belongs to you and he is yours. He is your servant and you'll do mighty things through him. Father, as you do that, give him the strength and the courage that he needs, even committing to memory the things that he really wants to say, even from his preparation for the sermon. For the rest of us, Father, I pray that you will keep us tuned in. None of us will wander because of one thing or another, but we all stay alert to what you have to say to each one and every one of us this afternoon. So that's our prayer. Be with Bundi, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray.
Amen.
Karibu sana.
Karibu. Let's appreciate Reverend Mwangi. Good afternoon, Mamlaka. Happy New Year. It's a privilege and an honor to get a chance to share God's word with you this first service of the year. For those with whom you're not acquainted with, Bundi Richard is my name. I serve here as youth pastor, B-U-N-D-I. And it is a joy and a privilege to be here with you guys. We defeat the enemy with our testimony and the power of the blood of the Lamb. And so thank you to everyone who's managed to share their testimonies. Let me reiterate that. So turn with me to the book of Psalm, chapter 8. We'll be in two portions of scripture today. And I'm reading from the NIV. Psalm chapter 8, verse 3 and 4. Psalm 8, 3 and 4. Hoping that we are there, allow me to read. And it says, "When I consider your heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars which you have set in place, what is mankind that you are mindful of them, human beings that you care for them?" And that's the reading of God's word. I just know how to pray. Let's pray. Father, in Jesus' name, I thank you once more for this afternoon, this second day of January 2020. And I'm thankful for as many as have been able to make it here, that we may gather together as a family to testify of your goodness last year and to dream on much practically and pragmatically about 2022. So as we look at your word for these few minutes, I pray that those things we do not know you will teach us, those things we do not have you will give us, and those things we are not will you make us indeed for your glory, our good, our joy, and our peace. For this I pray, believing and trusting in Jesus' name. Amen. It's being a new year and a new beginning. Personally, I am genuinely excited about new beginnings. There's something about a promise, a hope. What will it bring to us? And so being a worker in the church, my week normally starts on Tuesday all the way to Sunday. And then Monday, I take some intentional time to just prepare and plan out my week. So by the end of Monday night, I know what I'll wear on Sunday. I know how much money I will use. I know the school assignments and the things I need to submit during that week. Beginnings are important for me. You'll see me with wristbands many times, almost every day. They carry with me the theme of the previous year and the current year. It's a personal thing for me. I wouldn't enforce it on anyone so that I can remember what I have entrusted to God this coming year that I will not forget. And everyone here has a ritual, a desire, a dream that you hope to accomplish this year. And maybe someone has told you those things about resolutions. Forget them. You wanted to go to the gym day 5. It's over. You started a Bible study reading plan in Genesis. You're already in day 2 and you forgot yesterday. And you wonder, will I be able to keep this or should I just wait for 2023? And we find that no one ever matches up to the best example. Every year you say, you know, this year I will be like Bill Gates. No, this year I'll be like President Uhuru Kenyatta. But if we look at it, the logical conclusion, every man dies. Every man loses their step at some point. And if that is the pattern that we desire to follow to the end of life, then that will never suffice. And so the question begs, who will be my pattern to follow? Who will give me the desire to actually start well and finish well? And I will entrust my whole being, my entire life, to that person. I will follow them wherever they will go. Last year, there was this famous saying that said, Sipangwingwi. Up to now, I can't say it nicely. The person saying, I will plan myself. You care about your life. Do not do anything about my own personal life. And so, also last year, we had this famous question that I hope we shall focus on today. In whose hands shall we be safe? In whose hands shall we be safe? Enter in God the resolutionist. God the resolutionist. In Psalm chapter 8, David focuses much on this God who is majestic. Verse 1, Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. You have set your glory in the heavens. Through the praise of children and infants, you have established a stronghold against your enemies to silence the foe and the avenger. When I consider your heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars which you have set in place, what is mankind that you are mindful of them, human beings that you care for them? David is marveled, awestruck, starstruck, literally, at stars. And he's wondering, who really is man that you are mindful of them? And David has a focus on creation. So it behooves us as Christians to turn towards the creation story and get a glimpse of what David genuinely is marveling at. So turn into the book of Genesis chapter 1. Genesis chapter 1. It seems that David will now focus on God, the perfect resolutionist, who started all creation, had a plan, finishes it, and at the end of all time, he says it was very good. What is so special about God? What is so endearing to the human being, to the Christian, about God that they will entrust everything unto him? Genesis chapter 1, verse 1, in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth. Now the earth was formless and empty. Darkness was over the surface of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the waters. The writer of Genesis, Moses, brings us to the reality that at the beginning, when God created the world, it was formless, empty, dark. Darkness was over the surface of the deep. And this seems like much of every person's beginning. They are messy, they are unformed, they are empty, they are dark. There's a fear that follows you like a cloud with a rain every day of this year that will follow you. You know, what will tomorrow bring? Is the person that I love dearly, will they die? Will they live? How can I hold them close? How can I be sure that 2022 will be a perfect year? People have lied to me consistently. How can I be sure that this year will be different? Allow me for a few minutes to show us that God's beginning is worth desiring and worth entrusting, so that this year will be much desirable, that you'll have something great to say about this year as we focus on God's beginning. So I have four particular areas that I'd want us to look at in terms of how God does his beginnings, and I hope you will be blessed by it. Firstly, we learn that God's beginning is sure and authoritative. God's beginning is sure and authoritative. Of all the days that God creates the earth, he says, let there be, and there was. That will be the pattern for his 6 days of creation. And only when creation rebels or behaves differently do we find that creation has moved away from God's intended order. When a calculator malfunctions and needs to be repaired, destroyed, or replaced, you look at the manufacturer and you say, I thought you promised me that this invention will do well. God's inventions are interesting. In the same way that a farmer will have plans for his crops, an architect will have a plan for his building, a technician will have a plan for his computer, God has an intentional plan for his creation. When we turn away from that plan, everything goes awry. No single day did God command and there wasn't. There is nothing that God intended to be in this world today that isn't there that he did not command. We can trust a God in that his ways are sure and authoritative. God is omnipotent. And my question to us is, in our personal spaces of new beginnings, have we trusted a God who is the active agent of creation, Who can actually ensure you get a job? Who can actually ensure you get a wife? Who can actually ensure he sustains your family? Or are your resolutions speaking into the air? Have we entrusted a God who is sure and authoritative? Let there be, and there was. But beyond that, secondly, we see that God's beginnings are orderly and intentional. God's beginnings are orderly and intentional. God will take 6 complete days to bring forth creation. We learn that in the first day, God says, let there be light. Second day, he brings the sky that divides the water below and the waters above. On the third day, the water will leave and will separate. That will be the sea, and the land will be called the earth, and vegetation will show up. In the fourth day, he will create light bearers, the sun, the moon, the stars, to show us the seasons, the morning and the night. In the fifth day, God will bring sea creatures into the sea, and he will bring birds into the air. In the sixth day, God brings forth beasts, living creatures, even crawling, creeping things. I just remembered bed bugs. I had a bed bug incident in second year. Moving on. And God, at the end of the sixth day, he will bring forth man. Man, he makes them man and woman, and God says it was good. And finally, God will bring rest. God is indeed orderly in his creation. You know why? Had he created animals and man before separating land from the sea, we would have drowned. Without light at the advent of creation, there will be no visibility for us to marvel in. God indeed superintends over any process. There is a plan. There is an order. Sadly, many of us want to short circuit the process, want to take shortcuts. And God is saying, probably at this particular time, this is where I need you to be. Yes, yes, you'll be great. You'll be amazing. Will you trust me? This has become part of why people cheat in relationships, why we get into corrupt measures. Because instead of waiting on God, delighting in progress rather than perfection, patience to trust his order through our frustrations, anger, and our efforts, we tend to move the other way, to the other extreme. Scripture assures us that God's plans are good for us in his divine timing. I was just reminiscing that if I took a 3-year-old child and told them, go to the chamber, get me beans in 3 months. Yes, probably in the future they will be the best farmers ever, but at that point, they're just not ready. It will be unfair of me to short circuit a process that God is superintending over. And I get to ask us this question one more time. Have you short circuited a process already? Are you willing to trust a God who has a perfect design for you? That God's plans are good for you, that all things worketh for the good of those who love him and are called according to his purpose. A world without order eliminates God, for we feel we do it in our own strength. You can trust him in this lovely order, even as you begin this year. But thirdly, we learn that God's beginnings are perfect, sufficient, and enough. The pattern that we see in creation is, let there be, and there was, and finally God will say, and it was good. Everything God makes, it was good. Not better, not best, doesn't need comparative, doesn't need superlatives. It was just good. There is nothing to compare it with, but rather we see that we have a better plan with God. Than God, we get him into the court chamber, we judge his commandments, we become the God of God, and we desire to have a better plan than our God. After every day he says it was good, there is nothing that God made which he said was not good. And then it hits me that probably why we think the world is not good is because of us. The water he made, we have polluted. The animals he made, some are extinct because of us. The heavenly lights we marvel at, global warming. Man now turns evil, plants have now become scarce. And that's why our hope for redemption cannot be any man, cannot be any president, cannot be any king, cannot be any pastor. The only plan for redemption is found in God through Jesus Christ. He is the only way, the only truth, the only life. Do you have seasons of imperfection where things are not unfolding as they should and you cannot genuinely say this is good? My children are not good. My friends are not good. Do you have seasons where you feel nothing is perfect? There is no desirable end. It's not enough. It's not sufficient. My encouragement to us is, do not lose hope. God is always there, superintending over that season, that even our pain is for his glory and for our good and joy and peace. God has a plan if only we can trust him. We see that when he creates man, he says, you know, I have given you plants for food. I have given animals the plants for food. Everything was enough. Everything was sufficient. We tend to want more than what God has desired for us. Will we trust that God is omniscient? He is all-knowing. He is all-loving. That 5 years from now, you will look back and say, I understand why that particular season happened in my life, because God is trustworthy. And finally, we learn that God's beginnings have rest in mind. God's beginnings have rest in mind. Chapter 2, verse 1 to 3, we are told that thus the heavens and the earth were completed in all their vast array. By the seventh day, God had finished the work he had been doing. So on the seventh day, he rested from all his work. Then God blessed the seventh day and made it holy, because on it he rested from all the work of creating all that he had done. It's amazing that God did not just create us to be working beings, to just be creating beings, but he actually promised to his creation, I will give you rest. I will give you rest. One writer writes this and says, God does not rest due to exhaustion. He's not taking up his residence. He's taking up his residence in the ordered system that he has brought about in the previous 6 days. Not only on the seventh day, but something he does forever. Not only just a place of residence, he is exercising his control over this ordered system where he intends to relate to his people, who he has placed there and for whom he has made the system function. Resting does not refer to something we do out of exhaustion. You know, you think heaven is a beach with a hammock bed and pool with coconuts. That's not the rest that God has modeled for us. God's rest somehow looks like this. Will we do an honest, desirable job that honors him this coming year? Then, once that is done, on that seventh day, will you enter into a place of order and stability? Not because you are exhausted, but because you can delight in what you see. Think of a painter who is done with his masterpiece after a lengthy indulgence on it. What does rest look like for him? When people come and marvel at his painting, oh, the painter will rest. God looks at his creation and he says, and it was very good. And God enters into rest. God promises us this rest through his son, Jesus Christ. Many of us, even on the second day of January, you are already restless, wondering when this year will end, when it has already just begun. On that cross, the work was finished. Rest can be viewed from there, and we can trust a God who had a rest in mind that is beautiful, that is lovely. So basically, I realize that in the final analysis, everyone is genuinely pursuing God. Everyone is genuinely pursuing God. In any resolution you have, career, relationships, family, financial dreams, everyone is looking for God. Someone has promised you that probably money will give you the satisfaction that only God can give, that a wife or a husband, a boyfriend, a girlfriend, that they will give you the only thing that only God can give. Any resolution you're making this year, you're genuinely looking for God, and many times we encounter him and we run away from him because we do not want to repent of the things that we have done. We turn our face away. We shy away from meeting this God who has desired rest for us. So as I conclude, let me give us some implications of what this means. When we turn back to Psalm chapter 8, David now looks at this creation and marvels. When I consider your heavens, 6 days even gives us rest. The moon and the stars which you have set in place. What is mankind that you are mindful of them? Human beings that you care for them. You have made them a little lower than the angels, crowned them with glory and honor. You made them rulers over the works of your hands. You put everything under their feet, all flocks and herds and the animals of the wild, the birds in the sky, the fish in the sea, all that swim the paths of the seas. Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. Who is Ted? Who is John? Who is Bundy that God will be mindful of us? That we have lived to see 2022, that we have a job, that we have families, that we have people who love us, that we can actually find a comfort in 2022. Of all the things that we have done, of all the hearts in all the worlds, God walks into yours. feel special already, but God has desired a genuine plan for you that is different from anyone else's. This is not just a collective plan, but he has looked at you from all the people who have lived, who have ever lived, who will ever live, and he says, you, I have a plan for you that's mind-blowing. It is unfathomable. So implications that I find from David's marveling are, one, do you feel that God holds a grudge over the past of 2021? That you want to sing with the writer of this hymn that says, this song that says, I cannot undo what I have done. I cannot unsing a song that has been sung. The saddest thing about my regret, I cannot forgive me, and you cannot forget. Do you feel that God is holding a grudge over things you have done in the past? Let me remind us that God calls us to open repentance. He's not just going to have amnesia. In spite of your sins, not despite of your sins, God looks at you and he says, I know what you did last year. The all-knowing, all-present God was there in the darkness, in the deepest of the seas. He saw that. And still he says, would you come to me and repent? If you say you have no sin, then you are a liar. Would we come to a point where we know that God does not hold a grudge with us? But at the end of time, should we realize that we have not come to God in genuine repentance? Oh, he will do the dastardly thing, the holy thing, the right thing to do, and mete out justice that we desire in our courts of law. In any moment that someone has done an injustice against us, God will do that. Secondly, maybe someone is asking, but God, you were there last year. How can I be sure you will also be there this year? You were there when I lost a parent, a friend. You were there when I lost a job. You were there in that accident that I hear there was a scratch that was left after that accident. You were there. I know that your beginning even started with sin in the garden. How can I be sure that you will be there? Let me encourage us by reminding us that life will not be sufficient without being acquainted with the giver. He is also the keeper of your life. He is also the taker of lives and all that is good. Let me encourage us that for the Christian, they do not lose anything. They do not lose anyone. God keeps all that is good, all the treasures that you need, where no rats or moths can destroy. Whether we do not see each other for long, death is only but an illusion. God will make death untrue at the end of time, and we shall see everyone that we have lost, parents, friends, families. We shall get justice in heaven. Everything that is good will be found in God. Finally, as I close, maybe you're asking, who really cares about my resolutions this year? Do you know that you matter to God? Are you willing to entrust and fight and plan for a God-honoring resolution? God loves you so much that he will not even give you that thing you genuinely desire that he has foreseen will lead to your destruction. God cares about you more than you will ever know, more than you will ever desire. I mentioned this in the first service, and I will even mention it now. I started preaching at 22. I was so scared. I was losing everything. My schoolwork, it wasn't making sense. But God shows up and he reminds me that, you know, will you be of use to me? And every one of us here, be it in the corporate space, in church, you are giving your entire life to God. I hope you will desire a holy ambition. 383 times I have stood somewhere like this, felt very fortunate and humbled to know that only God can save fickle men who can only entrust themselves to him. So I pray, as you start out this year, you look at God, the resolutionist, who began a good work, finishes it, and says, I see you, I see you, I love you, I desire good things for you. Pain is coming, hard times are coming, but I love you. Will you trust me to the end of time? And you will see that God's good plan actually makes sense. That is my prayer for us. Let us pray. Father, in Jesus' name, I thank you for this afternoon. Who are we that you're mindful of us? Keep playing those games of the musical chairs and the musical graves. We do not know when we will fall, and it's not the fear of death that brings us to you. It's just the fear of really being alive. We want to genuinely be alive. And we are wondering, 2022, in my search for life in career and relationships and anything else, will I genuinely be alive in you? And so my prayer for as many as are under my voice, as many as are here and are representing families, they've come to cry at the altar for their friends and their families. Lord, I pray that 2022 will not just be another year of political ambition and patriotic candor that forgets that we actually have a plan that you will superintend over, that you care for our families, you care whether our children will get food, you care whether we will get a place to stay, you care whether we will get to school or get a job. Oh Lord, I pray for as many as are here and are trusting you and are lamenting and are worried that maybe you hold a grudge against them, Lord, their Father. Would you free them, that they will know that this truth of Jesus Christ has set them free, and they will be thankful that this service was ever held because it brought them to a closer relationship with you. So I pray as we embark on this year, dark, empty, hollow, unsure, let us not be as fearful walking on eggshells, but we will know that a God who is sure, a God who is authoritative, a God who is orderly, a God who is intentional, a God who is perfect, a God who desires our rest in him will surely make that happen. Whether now, 10, 20, 50, 100 years from now, may that be our genuine resolution. To follow you, God, our resolution is. For this we pray, believing and trusting in Jesus' name. Amen.